Moving on to another serious subject on this occasion, Adam Pengilly wrote in the Sydney Morning Herald overnight, the Australian racing industry is on the brink of being brought to its knees by Malcolm Turnbull's crackdown on the importation of skilled migrant workers as trainers across the country scramble to find alternative employment avenues. Racing Australia has sought an urgent meeting with the federal government less than 24 hours after the Prime Minister announced a scrapping of the 457 visa system, given the large number of overseas workers who come to Australia to work in some of the country's bigger stables. David Hayes was quoted in that story. Thought we'd better update from the New South Wales trainer's point of view, and Glenn Birch is the CEO there. Morning to you, Glenn.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well indeed, mate. Obviously, this is a serious one for the amount of people that come in from overseas that work within our, well, I'm going to say thoroughbred code, but they're probably in each of the codes. But we're talking here this morning on thoroughbred racing. How do you see it, Glenn?
Yeah, look, it's quite worrying. And I'll be aiming to talk to Barry O'Farrell, who's now running Racing Australia. So I guess the first big test for Barry in terms of lobbying in Canberra, being a former New South Wales Premier. But, yeah, on face value, what they've announced raises lots of questions and lots of concern. The number of people from other countries that come in and do a range of the jobs in the stables and particularly track work riding is high, and the trainers really heavily rely on those people.
So the what I say, and we're also always seeing advertisements in papers and in social media for track work riders and general staff around stable areas. Am I right in saying the large majority of those come in from overseas?
Look, I don't have the exact accurate numbers, but anecdotally from the trainers, and again, it depends if you're talking about the major metro people like Hayes or Waller or those people, they have a high proportion. So in the metro area in Sydney, yes, there is a high proportion. But equally in the country, there is around track work riders, there is a high proportion too. And I'm regularly trying to help trainers in New South Wales get staff. I mean, it is being something that the Jockey Association talk about. Also, we do have a long-term problem here in actually attracting staff to do a range of jobs, which, to be honest, a lot of people don't want to do.
The early morning starts is one thing that young people are against. You have to have that love of the horse. And if it was to stop this 457 visa situation, that if the government goes through with it and racing is affected, then it clearly affects just how many people are going to work with these stables. Suddenly, instead of having one person working maybe on two or three, they're going to be working on 7, 8, 9, 10. We need to get the issue sort of clarified, don't we?
Well, absolutely. And I think it raises another important issue. It's just a fact, when you talk to the leading trainers, that the skill level of a lot of the people that come here, it could be Irish, English, they could be just on a working holidays, et cetera. But the training system in the UK is superior in terms of the way they go about doing it, you know, in terms of putting people into an area, accommodation, and hands-on training. I had one trainer yesterday talking about how they'd fortunately had someone who came out of a TAFE course, and she said they couldn't put a bridle on and didn't know really how to wash a horse. So there is a bit of disconnect. So one reason a range of the overseas people are sought after is because they're very good at it. And that said, you probably can train up more Australians, but you've got to do it properly. And to your earlier point, it's a hard job. These are really, really hard jobs. Track work riding is a highly skilled position, and it's dangerous. So the people who are doing it, you know, they've got to be compensated well. And also, the industry needs to acknowledge that you don't have the glitz and the glamour of the corporate box at Randwick or Flemington if you don't have the people with the right skills and qualifications and being looked after to do these jobs.
Understand. So your aim from a... do you work with the Australian Trainers Association or with the New South Wales body, Glenn? Do you go it alone with Barry O'Farrell?
Look, as you know, the New South Wales Trainers Association is separate from the Australian Trainers Association. But that said, I've already had email exchange late last night with Andrew Nicol at the ATA, and he rightly pointed out in Adam's article today that this will be an opportunity for the industry generally to put more pressure on the racing New South Wales, racing Victoria and other states to actually come up with a system of the training and the staffing which works for the industry. I mean, you know, there's a lot of expectations on horse trainers. They work incredibly long hours, track work right through to the races and afterwards. So clearly training staff is part of their role, but the fact is that the staff they can recruit have to be licensed by the regulators and go through the regulators' normally run TAFE system. So, you know, we need to get them delivering what is required if you've got a regulated employment market like we have.
Yeah, it's a difficult one to work through. Let's hope that pressure from the thoroughbred industry, when we all come together, Glenn, there's a huge amount of pressure that can be applied, hopefully, on the Turnbull government to see what they could do if they go ahead, including thoroughbred racing in this, what it could do to the industry.
Yeah, look, we'll fight hard on this one, but again, as Barry O'Farrell sort of alluded to in that Adam's article, he just thinks perhaps this is a slight misunderstanding. So let's just wait and see exactly what they're intending to do before we really ramp the pressure up. But the thing it has, as I said, is a bit of a reminder, which Andrew Nichols and I have spoken about. You know, it is a reminder. We've got to actually look at the overall training systems in the thoroughbred industry, given a lot of people, as you mentioned, rightly, they don't want to do these jobs at 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that is one issue that it certainly comes into this, that they have to be special people and love the horse themselves to be getting up at the hours they do. They often start at 3, 3.30. They work till 9. They might go to the races or they might simply have a couple of hours off and then come back and work on the horses in the afternoon to feed them up. It is a role that they don't get terribly well paid, it would be fair to say, but their love of the horse is the one thing that I've learnt in the time with those people that could be affected by this visa 457. We'll wait and see the way it unfolds.
Just one other point I'd make, and the point about the love of the horse. I mean, for example, colts and fillies labour hire brings a lot of people from Turkey, and they're as a nation, they're really good on horses. So you want people who actually want to do the work and are good at it.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what Stems comes through in that article with David Hayes, that they need the right people, and that would be for every trainer that could be affected by this. Glenn, we'll certainly stay in contact. Thanks for your time this morning.
Well, I appreciate it. Talk soon. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Glenn. Glenn Birch joining us there from the New South Wales Trainers